Good morning. This is Debbie Verney.
And good morning. This is Jane Marie Schaefer.
That's an interesting opening there, Ben.
Yeah, I thought it was too. That surprised me, I'll tell you.
I know. It's
I was
music.
Shocked.
I was like, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting.
We're two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm. We're going to be here for the next hour to answer questions on estate planning, estate administration, Medicaid planning. We would love for you to be our first caller. Ugh, easy for me to say. 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Or toll free at 1-800-WROW-590. Good morning, Jane Marie.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Ben, can you make it stop raining?
God, I wish I could. It's just been brutal. There's no end in sight on this stuff. And, you know, it'd be nice to have...
Not even for the next week. I think we have one more week of this.
Yeah, one of my friends posted on Facebook. It was a picture of her laying out in the sun in their boat. And it was this time last year. It was like 86.
Ugh. Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't remember that. But I would like
that.
I'd like to go through that again. So, yeah, definitely.
I will say, when I drove here, I saw a lot of boats out on the Hudson. So people must just be in denial. It's cold and rainy. They're still out on their boats this morning.
Just bundle up and go. Just bundle up and go.
That's right.
So again, the phone number here is 518-476-5900 or toll-free 1-800-WROW-590. We have a seminar on Thursday in Kingston at the Holiday Inn Express in Kingston. That's 1835 Ulster Avenue in Lake Treene.
So, that's on estate planning and Medicaid planning.
Yeah, so it's the basic seminar. And then the seminars later on in May that are around the Albany area are actually on wills versus trusts, where we go over the difference between wills and trusts and what's it better to have a will, to have a trust.
Do you need probate if you have a will, right?
Right. Do you need probate? Do you need probate if you have a trust?
That's right.
What happens? Should retitle assets and stuff like that. That's going to be Tuesday, May 14th at 2 in the afternoon at the Holiday Inn Express in East Greenbush. Wednesday, the 15th at 6:30 in the evening at the Hampton Inn in Clifton Park. Thursday, May 16th at 10 in the morning at the Queensbury Hotel. And Thursday, May 16th at 2 in the afternoon at the Courtyard by Marriott on Washington Ave. So lots of opportunities to come out on your rainy days.
That's right.
Have some coffee and some cookies and...
I want to thank everyone who came to see us last week. I was at Colony Center on Saturday.
Yeah, and we were at the casino.
That's right.
And I actually was at the table. I didn't go gamble. I didn't go gamble. No, we were right next to Elvis, though.
That's why you stayed, right?
Exactly. We were right next to Elvis. He was very good. He had all the moves. Oh. He was very good. But we couldn't hear a thing whenever he was singing.
No, that's... I think there was an Elvis impersonator at Colony Center also.
Oh, was there?
But he was further down. I didn't get to go see him.
Well, I have pictures. We can share them later. Anyway.
That's right.
So, also, I wanted to mention, there was, this week I had a couple of calls from people that wanted to take money out of their trust. And they had spoken to their broker, and the broker said, you don't need your attorney, just write a check. And I said, well, I'm really glad you called, because unfortunately... You have to do what's called a partial revocation in order to not break your trust when you take money out of the trust.
That's right. And if you do a partial revocation, it's getting the consent of all of the beneficiaries for you to remove some money. But it leaves everything else that's in the trust protected, which is very important.
It's definitely important. So I try to explain this to people. It's like you have a piggy bank, right, that's your trust. It's really easy to put things in the top, right, those old-fashioned little piggies with the thing on the bottom.
Probably so, only people of a certain age remember those.
I know. People are like, piggy bank? What's up with that?
Anyway, I had one. I remember it clearly.
Right? I did, too. It's like, but I usually had the bottom of it off almost all the time to get money out of it. But anyway, so your trust is kind of like a piggy bank. Like the old-fashioned piggy banks.
That's right.
And so you put stuff in the top, and then if you need to take something out, you can pop the cork off the bottom, shake some money out, and put it back on. Well, if you want to protect your piggy bank to make sure it's not broken, right, you need to do the partial revocation. Because if you don't, and you pop the cork and take the money out, you may as well hit it with a sledgehammer because it's over.
Right. Then they'll just say the whole thing is available because you're taking it out freely at whenever you want.
Right. Because if you can write yourself a check... You can write the nursing home a check.
That's right.
So you need to be really careful about that. And then another, I've gotten all kinds of interesting calls this week. Another call this week was, which made sense, the financial planner had told the person that with their husband, they're both aging, husband and wife are both aging, they had each other as power of attorney first, and then they had their son, and then they had another person. And they said, you know, if something happened to you, you really should have your son moved up into the first position because you guys are both the same age, you know, you're both aging out, and you probably would want your son in a position to make decisions for you. What do you think about that one?
I think if maybe you had the spouse and the son, you know, together.
As co.
I would like that one because then the spouse can do it, but then if the son wants to, the son can. So it's easier than if the son's in the second position, it's hard, you know.
So you think or.
I like or.
So moving the son up as an or. So it would be the wife appoints the husband or the son. So that way, if something happened to the husband, the son would still be able to act, but the husband still has control now.
That's right. And then you don't have to change it in the future. You know?
That's it. That's an excellent, excellent suggestion.
As long as you trust your son.
That's sometimes an issue.
It is. But if you do, that's a really good solution.
It definitely is. So we'd love for you to be our first caller at 518-476-5900. Ben sneezed, by the way, if you didn't hear. And 1-800-WROW-590. Again, 518-476-5900 or 1-800-WROW-590. Where else were we? We were at the Alzheimer's.
Yes, we were at the Alzheimer's. That was caregiver seminar. Uh-huh. That was maybe 2 weeks ago, something like that. That was a really great conference. If you missed it, they have it every year. It was all day long at the Marriott, and it had different conferences all day long. You know, workshops, I should
workshops,
say. Workshops, where you can go to all kinds of different things. And we did the one on home care and how to pay for home care.
Which is a big, big issue.
Right, because I mean, for all elderly people, but even for people, especially people with Alzheimer's who may not have any other major medical issues.
Right.
You probably really want to keep them at home as long as you can. So we were talking about different programs that can help you get help in the home to keep your loved one safe. Maybe you just need someone to kind of watch them and make sure they don't wander or things like that. And there's a wide variety of programs, you know, from Medicaid to other programs. There's a respite program that's really good because sometimes caregivers do get burnt out and maybe they just need a little break and either a week away or maybe they just need a couple hours a week. So finding some of that respite caregiving can be very important.
So I have a client who appointed her daughter for all of her power of attorney, healthcare proxy, and she deeded her house to her daughter with a reserve life estate. And so the mom and daughter have been living in the house together for a long, long time. Mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. I mean, we've got the official letter now and everything like that. But she has the paranoia that comes along with it. So now she's decided that, you know, her daughter's bad things.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, she's doing bad things. And and she's basically, she wants to remove her daughter from everything. So the daughter called and said, you know, she sent me the letter from the doctors and she said, what's going to happen if mom removes me? Because she's talking to all the relatives. You know, she had a guy come in and put a deadbolt on her door on the inside so that her daughter couldn't get into her bedroom.
Wow, that is some bad paranoia there. Right.
So, you know, that's the question. So what happens?
Yeah, that's pretty tough. That's like a case I have where we couldn't resolve between the daughter and the granddaughter who should take care of grandma. There's dueling powers of attorneys out there.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, we have to go to court to have a guardianship proceeding to decide, you know, who can be the one to take care of her. Because if you have a power of attorney and then someone tries to do a new one afterwards, the question is the new one valid or is the old one valid?
And were they competent to do a new one?
And were they competent, which comes into the doctor's letter that you had in your case. So that kind of makes it clear that they're not competent to do a new one.
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting one. It's one of those things where we get kind of interesting stories all the time.
Oh, yeah, we're never bored. Right?
No, we're never bored. And we always have different things going on. And the key to everything is planning.
Right. Do as much as you can to plan it ahead of time. And that's really going to help later on. Because while you're still competent, you can pick who you want to take care of you. right? You can pick your power of attorney and your healthcare proxy. And don't leave it up to a court later on.
No, because they're not necessarily going to follow your wishes.
Right. They don't know you. They may not know your wishes. You may not be able to really verbalize them anymore.
And they don't know the family dynamic.
That's right.
Sometimes whenever you're, you know, in court, you have one face. And when you're actually at home dealing with a person, you may not have the same one. You know, it's one of those things where you got to be careful because you want to make sure that you appoint the right person that you and do it while you have capacity so that they can take care of you. We have a first caller. We have Barbara in Grafton. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
What can we help you with?
My husband and I have a trust, and we have three homes in the trust. One of them is his mother's home, which we're in the process of selling, and my husband is a third owner of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were just talking about keeping the money in the trust and how, when we get this house sold and we have, it's only going to be less than $15,000 out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to put the money into an account that's listed as the trust?
You do if you want to keep it protected. So basically, if the house is in the trust and then the house is sold, they should write the check to the trust at the closing. So it's going to go back into an account in the name of the trust. If you don't have one, you'd have to open one. And if you, let's just say you wanted the $15,000, say you didn't want it to go back into the trust, what you would have to do is you'd have to prepare a partial revocation. And I've had people that have done it before the closing so that at the closing, the check is written to them as opposed to the trust. But once it's out, it's out. You can't put it back in the trust and expect it to still be protected.
Okay. My intention is to probably use it on one of the other houses that we have. So what kind of a bank account do I open?
You can open any account that you want. So if it's something that you're not going to be holding for a long time, you could just do a checking account. You just have to make sure that it's in the name of the trust and your trustee will have to be there with you to open the account because it's the trustee's signature on the account. The trustee would be the only one who could take money out.
Yeah, the trustee is in California versus New York, which makes it more fun.
Well, you could always open it at a bank that has branches all over the place. You know, there are some banks that do have branches out in California that have local branches here.
Okay.
So that he could actually, I mean, he doesn't really need you to open up the account. So he could open up the account out in California and then
you could deposit it.
You could deposit the money here.
Right.
Okay, but if I take the money out, I need to do a partial revocation of the trust.
Right. So we could do a partial revocation. And we can email it out to him. We just need original signatures back. It has to be notarized. So,
okay.
You know, there's lots of different ways we can do it. Or you could do what Frank does. My client Frank. Frank, whenever he wants money out of his trust, because everybody lives out of state, he does an amendment, makes it just him and his brother. He and his brother sign off, and then we put them everybody back afterwards. We amend it one way or another, and then all they have to do is the two of them sign the partial revocation. So...
All righty. I guess I'll be talking to you then.
Give us a call.
Thanks.
Thank you for your help.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
And it could be the next caller at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900 or 1-800-WROW-590. Frank knows that I use him as an example.
That's right. And the problem with this is it's kind of a lot of paperwork to go through. It's a lot of formalities, but it's going to be so important when you're applying, if you need to apply for Medicaid.
Right. If you have to apply for Medicaid and people are like, well, why do I have to do this? Kind of like the whole back to the...
Right.
Person saying write a check. If you're applying for Medicaid, there's a 5-year look back, and all of a sudden you look, and they're like, the DSS says, well, where's this $20,000? Where did it come from? And you say, well, it came from the trust. And they're like, aha, you broke the trust. And they're like, no. Here's the piece of paper that says everybody signed off for me to take that money out of the trust. So I basically took the cork off the piggy bank, shook it out, and put it back. So the stuff in the piggy bank is still protected.
Yeah, that's true.
So it looks like we have another caller. We have Al from Clifton Park. Good morning, Al.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question, we had a Medicaid trust your firm drew up 8 years ago. And I know if you go to a nursing home, you have to sign over your Social Security and your pension.
Yes.
Now, we have a small pension that if one person dies, the other still collects.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's signed over to the nursing home, does that mean they get it for forever?
No.
Even after the person's dead?
No, they only get it while that person is in the nursing home. And then after that person passes away, then the survivor does still get the pension. That doesn't go to the nursing home anymore.
That was a big question.
Uh-huh. Good.
Yeah, it's a huge question. And actually, if the person goes into the nursing home, depending on what the income is for the community spouse, the spouse that's still living outside the nursing home, they may not go to the nursing home because they have a certain amount that has to go to the spouse that's living in the community to be able to live.
And how do you find out what that would be?
Well, it's, if you're rounding, it's around $3,000 a
right.
month.
Yeah, the Medicaid at the New York State Department of Health, they update that figure every year.
Yeah.
It goes up maybe $50, $100 a year, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So great. Basically, if you looked at it, and let's just say, you know, Mom only has like $700 a month in Social Security, and Dad's the one that has all the income, and Dad goes into the nursing home. They're going to take, let's just say, $2,300 from Dad's money, give it to Mom, so she's at that $3,000 a month level, and then the excess is going to go to the nursing home.
Okay.
So it's all a math calculation.
Right. All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great weekend.
And it's a busy morning. We have another caller. We have Christina from Greenwich.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
I have a question about SSI and the rules for that. Do you think you can kind of like help me with that?
Sure. What's your question?
Well, I have a relative that was just qualified for both SSB and SSI. Well, my relative had a life insurance policy that had a cash surrender value of $5,400. And so the lady at Social Security told me that he would have to spend that down in order to be qualified for SSI because it's a resource. So I listened to her and had the money taken out, and now he's using it for a resource. But I was just wondering, in hindsight, unfortunately, I didn't think of this, but could I have had him take out, like, at least $1,500 in the life insurance policy so that it would stay active? Because this life insurance policy is mainly for, like, someday if he, for burial purposes, you know. And instead it was closed out, so I feel really bad about that I might have done the wrong thing by advising him to do that. But that's what the Social Security lady told me to do, so I did it that way.
Well, it's true that he had to spend down, because if you're receiving SSI, you can only have $2,000 in assets, and they do count the cash value of the life insurance. So what you did, it sounds like you surrendered the policy and got the cash value.
Yeah.
And so another option you could have done was to borrow against the cash value to reduce the value, but that would have left the policy in place. Right? But the other thing you can do now is you could take, I don't know if you spent the money that you took out already, but you could put
Not all of it.
Okay, you can put some of that money towards a prepaid funeral. And that's an exempt asset for SSI purposes as well as Medicaid purposes. So you can put some of that money in there and still exempt it.
Instead of spending it down.
Right.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. You just contact the funeral home for that?
Yes, you do. You pick a funeral home, you go in, and you can select what you want. And even if he doesn't have the money to pay for all of it, maybe he can put some money towards it,
mm-hmm.
and that'll be exempt, and he could always add to it, you know, if it's not the full amount.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm just kind of like, I don't know, confused as to why she would tell me to spend it all down when I could have had other options, and I should have asked the lawyer about that. So it's my fault, but I'm just saying.
That's okay. They don't always, you know, give you a whole lot of information. They just are telling you that it does have to be spent down to $2,000. So that's why sometimes it's good to check with someone to see what your options are.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Wow. Good. Bevy of callers.
And Christina would like to know, as long as she's maybe still listening, that we do have Elizabeth Pavanka from the Social Security Administration. She knows her stuff, and she's here on Magic 590 100.5 every first Tuesday of the month. So she'll be here coming Tuesday to answer all Social Security questions. So if anybody has a Social Security question, maybe you're not sure, she should have asked a lawyer. But if she had called into the show next Tuesday at 8:30, she could have asked our Social Security expert, Elizabeth Pavanka, and she gives Social Security Administration information. She's in studio Tuesday at 8:30. So every first Tuesday of the month, she'll be here. So
good to know.
Maybe that'll help out some folks that might be thinking about that same type of topic and don't really know what to do. Easier to ask the question first and then go to you guys if they need backup.
Yeah, no, that's a great resource because Social Security is confusing. You know?
Yes.
It's very confusing.
That's right.
I'm confused now and I still have years to go.
So. I know.
I know. Years to go.
Years to go. That's right.
That's right. You're a child prodigy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, I think we may have time for like one more caller if you get it in quick. So the phone number here is 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900 or 1-800-WROW-590. Again, we do have the Kingston seminar this week, Thursday, May 9th at 2 in the afternoon. And then we have the ones locally around the Albany area on Tuesday, May 14th at 2 in the afternoon in East Greenbush. Wednesday, May 15th at 6:30 at Clifton Park. Thursday, May 16th at 10 in the morning at the Queensbury Hotel. And Thursday, May 16th at the Courtyard by Marriott. You can register for those by calling the office at 518-465-7581. Or you can go on our website, www.herzoglaw.com. Do you have to put www in anymore?
I always do, but I'm old, so I don't
Me
know.
Too. Yeah. Anyway, so the website is herzoglaw.com. And you can go on there and you can click on the info at Herzog and you can make a reservation. Or again, you can give the office a call at 518-465-7581. We'd love for you guys to come out to the seminars. Get some good information on your estate planning and Medicaid planning. It's very low key. You can come in and sit and listen to us talk and
get some cookies.
Cookies and coffee or water. I think there's water too. Sometimes there's soda. They have soda at the one, usually up at Glens Falls. But it's a great opportunity. Usually there's plenty of questions during the seminar and then there's time afterwards that the attorneys stay after and answer questions. So.
That was the one good thing about, I did a college tour with my son yesterday. Usually they don't have food, but it was finals week, so they had free cookies in the library.
That's nice.
So as we did our tour, everyone grabbed a couple of cookies on the way, and that kept us going.
Well, you have to, because those tours are...
an hour and a half of just walking, and it was raining yesterday, walking around in the rain.
I remember we were doing a tour with Zach. And we were like maybe 30 minutes into the tour, and he's texting me like going, I am not going here. We are out of here. So we waited till like the whole tour group kind of turned a corner and we like took off to the side and left. He's like, yep, not going here.
Yeah, if you know you're not going to go there and at some point continuing the tour.
I know, exactly. That's right. It's like, yep, we're out. I'm like, okay. And I think a lot of it has to do with the tour guide too.
That's true. Yeah, how interesting they are. We had a pretty... lively tour guide.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had some really good ones, and we had some that were, you know, if they're not really in your major.
True.
You know, sometimes, or they're not even, like, interested in your major, because, like, his question was, like, where's the gymnasium? Right, you know, where do you go to work out? Oh, I think it's over that hill.
Oh,
and
that's
over
not
to
good.
The, yeah, not yeah. good. No, you need to know where the gym is.
That's right. <You know>? Yeah, we've had very good tour guides who really do know everything.
That's good.
Of course, they're amazing. They're like double majors. They're like in president of this, president of that. They're always the cream of the crop, I guess, you know?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Makes you feel a little bit inadequate when you're following them around. But
it's like, I could go to school here. Anyway, so we're going to be coming up on the break here in a minute. But if you want to give us a call, it's going to be 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900 or 1-800-WROW-590 if you're not around the local area.
That's right. And maybe when we come back, I had a client with some bad beneficiary designations, and that's really important to make sure that you coordinate that with your overall estate plan.
Yeah, because if you don't, you could have all kinds of issues.
Because it's something that you kind of forget about. You know, you do your will, but maybe you don't go back and look at all your beneficiaries.
I had one yesterday where her mom passed away, and the policies were so old, it had her daughter's, like, maiden, not, well, her daughter's maiden name, right,
yeah,
before she got married, and she's like,
right.
Is that going to be an issue? And I'm like, no.
No,
right. It's not going to be an issue. You're still the same person.
That's right. But sometimes people have their parents as the beneficiary.
Yes.
And their parents may be gone, right, or on Medicaid, so.
Or ex-spouses.
Mm-hmm. That's a
We'll get back to that. And we'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, and Flatbush Road in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, Harry, or Debbie, please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office at 518-581-8131. Or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help you navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Hi, this is Debbie Verney.
Hi, this is Jay Marie Schaefer.
And we're two of the attorneys at the Herzog Law Firm. We're going to be here for the next half hour to answer your questions on estate planning, estate administration, Medicaid planning. We had questions on Social Security. We've had really good questions.
Very good questions today, yeah.
So if you want to be the first caller, this section of it, it's 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900 or 1-800-WROW-590. And so you were going to talk about beneficiary designations.
Yes, that's right, because I do a lot of the estates, right, in the firm. So oftentimes I'll see someone come in and their, you know, parent or whoever had done their will and done their trust, but their beneficiary designations were not updated. So money isn't really going to flow exactly how the parent wanted. And, for example, this one time, a lot of elderly people do this. They put everything into one kid, and they say that kid's going to share it with everyone else.
I'm not sharing.
I know. If your mom doesn't,
my mom knows
that.
My mom is aware of that. I would not share. Yes.
I know. I just think that's very risky. Everyone says, "Oh, he or she will share." You know, they're very generous. Oh, that's really very dangerous. You know. Or as I told someone who wanted to do this, I said, "Maybe you trust your son, but what if he gets married?" You know.
Right.
His wife could say, "Why should we give it to your two brothers?"
Exactly.
They're not on here, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's one risky thing to do. Make sure you put everyone equally.
Exactly. But you got to be careful with that, too, because I've got people that make two-year-olds a beneficiary of a IRA. What's wrong with that? That's great. They can stretch it over their life expectancy.
I know, but once that two-year-old becomes 18, he could go take out all the money.
Well, plus they'd have to appoint a guardian.
And they'd have to appoint a guardian before they're 18, which is right.
So it's not a good idea. If you want to benefit your grandchildren, you really need to make it titled the correct way. Because if you make a two-year-old the beneficiary of an IRA, it's going to be a mess.
Right. So, I mean, you should put a trust in there as the beneficiary for any minors. I mean, I had that case happen a couple of years ago where the dad had trust in his will for his children until they got to age 25 and 30, like our standard. But he died unexpectedly young, and his beneficiaries went to his kids outright.
Oh.
And the one daughter was 17, about to turn 18. She got all the money directly.
Not good.
Not good. Not what he wanted to happen. He wanted someone, you know, more responsible to manage it and get her through the college years. And now she has all this money and she's on her own deciding what to do with it.
Not a good choice. Definitely not a good choice. So there's a lot of things that when we meet with people, we go over those kind of things.
That's right. And if you have a will naming trust for children, we give you the language to put on your beneficiary designation.
Exactly.
So you need to go make sure that gets done.
Well, the same thing with young couples that have, you know, minor children,
right.
New babies and stuff.
Right.
You should definitely have a will to make sure that you appoint whoever you want to be the guardian of your child. Because as Jay Marie was saying earlier, do you want the court to be the one that makes the decision? Or do you want to give them an idea as to who you want as the guardian and who you want to take care of the money for the kids, too?
That's right. You have to really think about that. And I remember looking at one will I'm just doing right now. Maybe he overthought it. He has about 5 guardians listed in order. But that's better than nothing, right?
Right, exactly.
Right. He's really making sure there's going to be someone there to take care of his kids. Yeah.
That, and when I talk to people, I'm like, well, do you really want to make the guardian and the trustee the same person?
Right, because then there's no one to kind of check on how the money is spent.
Right, and your kids don't have a parent anymore, so you want to make sure that money's going to last them.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And they're not going to have the money to do anything. So give us a call, 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900, or toll free, the 1-800-WROW-590. I've talked to a lot of financial planners this week. One of them called me and said that son had a power of attorney that dad had signed. And dad had signed it. They downloaded it from the internet, and it was one of the ones pre-2009.
Oh, so very old one.
Right? But they did it in 2019. So, and it had passed muster. I guess the guy had been using it everywhere. And then all of a sudden,
Someone realized
it was the wrong form. And when the financial planner called me, he's a friend of mine. He's like, so it's no good? I'm like, that's right. Mm-hmm. It's no good.
The old ones are not good.
He's like, because he calls me and goes, didn't you tell me that they had changed forms in 2009? I'm like, mm-hmm. He's like, well, then how did they do this one? And I'm like, I don't know how they did that one.
Well, they're still out there on the internet. You know? So I know people do find them. So that's why you need to, check with an attorney, make sure you got the right form, because you could be doing, I've seen people come in with forms that aren't even New York forms, just kind of a generic power of attorney that they found on the internet or a different state.
Yeah. And you're like, yeah, that's no good.
That's not going to be any good here. Right.
And it was, like I said, the financial planner sent it to his legal department and they bounced it back. And he's like, he's saying to this guy, we can't use this. It's not valid. Well, I've used it everywhere else.
The other places weren't being that careful.
Exactly, and they should be.
That's right.
And I want to make sure that they have the right form. And I've had people that have, a lot of people that don't do the statutory gifts rider.
Right, and the statutory gifts rider is what lets your agent make gifts of your money. And as I tell people, not just, for a nice Christmas gift, right?
Right.
But to transfer money to help you become eligible for Medicaid. So, for example, if you have set up a trust, but you just put your house in your trust, like many of our clients do, and they hold the cash back because they think they're going to spend it. Then if you become sick and you need nursing home care, your power of attorney can now go ahead and transfer some more of that money into the trust. Whereas they couldn't do that if they did not have the gifting rider and the power of attorney.
Right. The gifting rider is very important. And the example I use a lot of times for people is, okay, let's just say that one of you has to go into a nursing home and you're incapacitated, right? And you don't have a power of attorney and the house is joint, right? They're never going to qualify for Medicaid because they own half a house. And there's no way for you to transfer it to yourself.
Right.
Because you don't have the gift rider because you're limited to $500.
Absolutely. And the solution to that is to go to court, get a guardian appointed, and ask for power to do Medicaid planning under the guardianship. Which, of course, we can do that, but think of all the time and the money and court costs involved in doing that.
And then you still have to apply for Medicaid.
So. Right, you have to apply, you have to get eligible. It's a lot of steps. It's much easier if you have a power of attorney.
Right, that's able to transfer assets. Because people are like, oh, you know, they're not. I'm not going to be incapacitated. I may, you know, physically, I may end up having to go into a nursing home, but mentally, I'm always going to be there. Yeah, not so much.
Well, true. I mean, that's what we all like to think, you know. I mean, I'm never becoming incapacitated, but...
Exactly.
You know, that's just me, so I don't know about you.
I was going to say, you and I aren't going to go there, because it's
that's
like...
Right. I'm going to be 100, and I'm going to be driving myself around, you know.
Not me. I don't want to be 100, no, okay. But anyway...
But we share that in common with our clients. It's hard to think about in the future when you have to give up control over things.
You do. And sometimes you don't have a choice.
Right. But if you like to kind of be in control, well, then plan it so you are putting things kind of in line for how you want them to be.
Right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. I always say plan for the worst and hope for the best.
That's right.
And give us a call at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Or toll free 1-800-WROW-590. So who's going to win the Derby? That's a question to you, Ben.
Yeah, who is going to win the Derby? I'm going to have to wait until later today and find out how wet the track is.
Whoever the mother is, right?
Could be, depending on how much rain they get.
That's right.
So right now it's fast and firm, so we'll see later in the day. It doesn't go off until almost 7 o'clock tonight.
Oh, I just assume because it's pouring here, it's pouring everywhere.
It's not. No. Yeah. Nice thought, but no, not yet.
I thought everyone was underwater like we were.
Exactly. Well, I think it has been kind of like a system that's kind of gone across the country.
Yeah,
so.
I saw flooding on the news, but I don't remember. Where? Oh,
it's everywhere.
I thought it was everywhere.
Yeah, it's like everywhere.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, my mom and I are going to my niece's graduation in Wisconsin. Not this week, but the week after that. My mom calls me. She's like, so should I pack summer clothes or winter clothes? I'm like, I would say a winter coat and boots.
I would do both. Or right?
No, it's probably not. The weather there, actually, I looked it up. It's very similar to here.
Okay.
Because we're going to Wisconsin. But it's like...
Well, then you should bring a boat.
I know. Pack a boat. Anyway, but it's just, you know, the weather has been so rainy.
It's probably tough for all the graduations that are coming up soon that are outside.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But, you know, it's difficult. So it's trying to pack for... seasonal weather. It's a tough, May is a tough month.
That's right. We thought April was transitional, so is May.
That's right. April showers bring May flowers. Well, we're done with it.
Well, then May showers bring.
flooded roads. So give us a call at 518-476-5900 or toll free 1-800-WROW-590. And again, we've got the seminar in Kingston this week. So break out the umbrella. And come out on Thursday, May 9th at 2 in the afternoon at the Holiday Inn Express in Kingston. That's 1835 Ulster Avenue in Lake Katrine. That's a new spot.
It is a new spot. I mean, very close to Kingston, very nice hotel. Yeah. It's a newer one, so.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. So that's an opportunity to go out and listen to us talk about estate and Medicaid planning. It's one of the seminars that goes through the basics, healthcare proxies, powers of attorney, wills, trusts, Medicaid planning kind of goes through the whole gamut of basic estate planning.
And so it's a good exposure if you kind of just want an intro to everything.
Yeah, kind of an intro. And then the ones that are in Albany/Saratoga, they're on wills versus trusts. And those are the next week after that. So Tuesday, May 14th at 2 a.m. At 2 a.m. At 2 p.m. at East Greenbush, and May 15th at 6:30 at the Hampton Inn in Clifton Park, May 16th at 10 in the morning at the Queensbury Hotel, and May 16th at 2 in the afternoon on the Courtyard by Marriott on Washington Ave in Albany. So, again, you can go to our website, herzoglaw.com, or you can call the office at 518-465-7581, and you can make a reservation.
That's right. And hopefully by the following week, it'll be nice weather, but you should still come out and hear us.
Whether it's nice weather or not, you should still come out.
That's right.
Because estate planning is more important than nice weather.
That's right. You need to learn about wills and trusts.
You do. You need to learn about wills and trusts. It's really a good one. It's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have Gordon from Schenectady. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning. I'm driving around. I just heard you earlier mention on the beneficiary change forms on life insurance, and you mentioned you come across people that are divorced and still have their ex-spouse on.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because I've been in the life insurance business since 1970, and I would have said if the person died, the ex-spouse would have received the money. Turns out a couple of years ago, the Supreme Court had a case, and in Wisconsin and in New York State, it is assumed that when you got divorced, you did not want your ex to have anything. And so, therefore, he or she is not entitled to be the beneficiary, and the insurance company is not allowed to pay it out to the so-called main beneficiary.
That's awesome that you called in on that. You're right, and it's great that they did that, because I've had situations in the past before that was changed where the ex was still on there and they did get the money.
Well, actually, the insurance company paid it out by mistake.
Right.
And technically, if the different beneficiary, a new wife or just the children, wanted to get it, they could actually get it from the insurance company. And in that case, I'm sure the company could never get it back from the first so-called beneficiary.
Right.
And they would be out twice. And it turns out, I understand, on the retirement system in New York State, they have it actually worded that if you're divorced and you haven't changed the beneficiary, your beneficiary will not get it, and don't even try to sue.
Yeah, that's true, but a more common problem that we see are couples who are separated but never filed for divorce, and that's a tricky one, because if they're separated, they probably didn't intend for their spouse to get the benefits, but they haven't changed them yet on the beneficiary form. So in some of those cases, we've had to go look at the separation agreement, see if they waive their rights. But I know that one's a little bit harder to figure out with the companies.
And I'm wondering, if you're a joint owner on a house and you get divorced and you don't take them off the deed, can they inherit the house?
It would depend on what the divorce document says. Usually you deal with that in the divorce. Either somebody buys somebody out or... you know, it just depends. Usually it is in the documents, though, whenever they do the separation agreement.
Keep it that way. They say, oh, when I die, you get the house. But they don't put it in writing. I wonder if they actually can still get it.
Well, that's why, yeah, it all has to be in writing in the separation agreement.
Exactly.
Or the divorce decree, or else you could be back in court litigating that.
Great points.
So the good thing, though, to tell people is if you're separated or if you're getting divorced, to remember to now see a lawyer to update your estate planning documents.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
That's very important, because it's not something you're thinking about. Review all of your beneficiary designations and really redo everything after the divorce. Or after the separation. Yeah.
Well, it depends. Once you file for divorce, it freezes everything. You can't change your beneficiaries. So.
Right, but after divorce, if you want the ex-spouse to actually be the beneficiary and it's not in the court documents, then you change the beneficiary, and that shows that after the divorce, you wanted he or she to be the beneficiary, and then they will collect.
You know, it's funny, because it's the same way with estate planning documents. If you get divorced and it's in your estate planning documents, you get divorced, it's automatically voided unless you did them after the divorce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good. Well, thank you for your information also.
Well, thank you for your call. And I think we have another caller. We have Barbara from Saratoga. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. I opened up a revocable trust with you in 2018. And I'm reviewing the power of attorney, or I'm looking at it. And... I'm wondering, it says New York statutory short form.
And it's like 13 pages long, right?
And so my question is in regard to that, why is it a short form that I would take, well, I wanted to take to a bank and... review and show that to them, and I just don't, they have not accepted that. So I thought that this power of attorney I could use in New York State.
You can. Why did they not accept it?
They said it wasn't valid.
Why wasn't it valid?
Well,
Well, okay.
I mean, I didn't get into a big argument because mm-hmm. I'm, you know.
Well, what you can do is, I mean, give me a call on Monday. And if you want me to, I can call up the bank and talk to them. Because if you executed your document and you signed it and the person you appointed signed it, mm-hmm. and it's the statutory short form for New York, that is a valid mm-hmm. power of attorney. So there's no reason they should not accept it.
So I could use it in another entity, for instance, if I opened up a new account or something?
You could, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's comforting. Thank you.
Yeah, that's no problem. I mean, I've gotten calls from the banks a lot of times. I'll get calls from banks whenever my clients are sitting there, and we kind of like walk through everything. But no, there's no reason if it's valid, if it's one we just did, like you said, and you signed it and the person you appointed signs it, it's a valid document.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great weekend.
That's unfortunate. We see that so often with banks, right?
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of them are like, we have to run this by our legal department.
Like, no, it's a statutory New York form, right?
I know. It's very, very difficult. So, And that's the thing. If you're our client and you're having issues at a bank or, mm-hmm. you know, with a financial planner and you need us to talk to them.
Yeah, give us a call.
Give us a call.
Because, I mean, you shouldn't have to argue the law with them, right? We can do that for you.
So. That's right.
That's right.
And, you know, we had a lot of that in the last month or so in April. Of course, it always seems like right around April 15th, we end up getting a lot of calls from accountants. You know, just confirming how the trust should be taxed and how the assets are held and everything like that. And that's what we want to happen. We want our clients to have, you know, a good attorney, a good CPA, a good financial planner that all work together. Because if we're all working together, then your estate plan is going to be good. It's going to be intact. If you've got different people telling you different things, they kind of need to get it together.
Sounds like we had a kumbaya moment.
I know, we did.
That's it.
We're all going to hold hands.
Put everybody together. It's beautiful.
We'll all hold hands and review the documents together.
As long as it gets done properly, that's all that really matters, right?
Yeah, that's right. So. I welcome the calls from the CPAs because I find that a lot of people don't know how to explain the trust to their CPA, and then the tax returns get done wrong.
Right.
And we may not find out until years later. Which I've seen happen. So.
And unfortunately, you only go back, like, what, 3 years?
That's right. Yeah, so you should just a quick phone call. We can tell your CPA what kind of tax return to prepare, and then you're all set.
Yeah, and like I said, we'd rather get the calls than the after.
Oh, yeah, afterwards we're like, oh, I thought it was this. I've been doing it wrong for years.
That happens with real estate closings, too.
Yes.
Unfortunately, if you have your house in a trust, number one, you need to make sure that at the closing that they make the check payable to the trust, not you. So if it's one of the older trusts where you had a reserved life estate that was in the deed, right, then you're going to get a check to you, and then there's going to be a check to the trust. But if we're not doing your closing, which is fine, and the attorney that's doing your closing has any questions, have them give us a call too, because we would prefer that your trust still be intact and everything still goes smoothly rather than 5 years later, you end up having to go into a nursing home and we find out they made the check payable to you instead of the trust.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's happened because now that money's no longer protected because you took the name, it went to you directly. Whereas if it goes to your trust, the money would stay protected. In fact, you could even buy a new house and that new house would still be protected.
Right, because the money went back in the piggy bank and then the piggy bank bought the new house.
How's the house fit in the piggy bank?
It's a big piggy bank.
Oh, okay. Got it.
It's just the deed. The deed just goes down the little slot in the piggy bank, you know? It's Yeah, it's early.
That's right.
I think we have time for maybe one more caller. If you want to be our last caller at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Or toll free 1-800-WROW-590.
Yeah, for the real estate, you really should call us because a lot of clients have the misconception that they can't buy and sell a house in the trust. Or that once it's in the trust, they can't sell it anymore.
Right. And you can.
And
you can totally sell your house.
You can sell your house. You're not stuck in that house if you put it in the trust. I mean, what happens is your kids can't sell it against your wishes.
Right.
And that's really important. But if you want to sell it, then you can direct your trustee to do so.
And if your trustee won't do it, you just fire them and get somebody else to sell
another
it for
trustee
you.
That's right.
Exactly. And that's one of those things, too, that if you have any questions about that, that's what we're there for. to answer mm-hmm. your questions. If we did your estate planning documents, you know, give us a call. We'll pull your file and get back to you if you, whatever questions you have. And real estate is kind of tough. I had clients come in that they wanted to take a home equity loan on their house that's in the trust mm-hmm. To buy a new house because they weren't ready to sell their old house yet. Mm-hmm. They needed to clean some stuff out of it. So they figured they'd buy the new house, take a home equity loan, buy the new house, and then sell the old house, right? And so they have a house down in Florida. They had made all the phone calls and everything like that. They had everything all set. They went into the bank, and it was a local bank that said, no, the house is in the trust. We can't give you a home equity loan. You're going to have to take the house out of the trust to get the home equity loan. There are banks mm-hmm. that will do a home equity loan for a house in the trust. So if you're having issues with that,
that's right,
give us a call and we can point mm-hmm. you in the right direction because mm-hmm. you can get a reverse mortgage on a house that's in a trust. Mm-hmm. You can get a home equity loan right. on a house that's in a trust. You just can't get a purchase money mortgage.
Right. And not every bank will do that.
No.
So yeah, if you give us a call, we know the ones that will. So you can certainly do that.
Yeah. So, but you can't refi. And I always try to tell people that. They're like, what's the downside of an irrevocable trust? The downside is if you need to refinance your house, you're going to have to take it out to refinance it and put it back in, which is going to start the 5 years all over again.
So you could refinance it before you put it in.
Right. You could refinance it before you put it in. Or again, you can take out a home equity loan if that's all mm-hmm. you really need.
That's right.
We had situations whenever all the interest rates dropped. You know, we mm-hmm. had people that years
Tons
and years
of people
ago,
wanted to refinance.
They wanted to refinance.
Right.
So it's like, do you want to refinance and have to take it out and start your 5 years all over again? Or how much is that interest worth to you?
That's right. Yeah. How close are you to needing a nursing home, even though you can't answer that question?
Nope. Nobody has a crystal ball.
That's right.
But it's one of those things where you have to make educated decisions whenever you're doing your estate planning. But those, but if you have a trust and you're looking to either get a reverse or you're looking to get a home equity loan, you can give us a call and we can kind of point you in the right direction.
The other thing that comes up with real estate, it seems that every one of my estates lately has an issue with the real estate and one child wants the real estate.
Oh.
And isn't necessarily willing to buy out the others, you know.
It's mine.
So, or sometimes the parent wants the house just to go to one child because maybe they were the caretaker, maybe they're not as well off. If that's what you're thinking, you have to make that clear in your documents.
Exactly.
So that child isn't fighting with his or her siblings later on, and you can do that ahead of time. That's going to make things easier later on.
Well, especially if the child was living there. Mm-hmm. I've got one where the child basically gave up their life. They had mm-hmm. a house. They sold it so that they could move in with the parent.
Right.
And they're taking care of the parent. And so the parent said, they've given up their life basically mm-hmm. to take care of me. They gave up their job. They gave up their house. I want them to get the house. And
right.
so we put specific language that says that the house goes to this person mm-hmm. and then everything else gets divvied up equally between the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other kids understood that.
Right.
But sometimes they don't.
No, sometimes they don't. And when it comes down to it, you know, they're like, well, okay, you can buy me out at fair market value.
Right. right.
And maybe that child doesn't have the means to do that because maybe they haven't been working because they were taking care of their parent.
Exactly. So you've got to think about these things and we try mm-hmm. to... Well, that's why we offer the free consult, because somebody's like, a lot of times at the presentation at the casino, they were like, how much is it? How much is it for a will, healthcare proxy, and power of attorney?
Right.
And I'm like, well, there's no just basic package.
Right. It's different for each of you. You wouldn't want us to give you all the same thing.
No.
Right.
Just like cookies, right? It's mm-hmm. not cookie cutter.
That's right.
Everybody has their own different style and their own different assets. And so that's why we offer a free consult for you to come in. Sit down with us, go over everything, because not everyone's the same.
Right, and not everyone needs the same things. Maybe you don't need a trust, you know, maybe you need a will. Maybe you don't need a will because you have beneficiaries on everything. So it's different for each person, and that's why we ask you to fill out a questionnaire so we can get all of your information to go over it with you.
Right, definitely. Mm-hmm. And if you want to set up an appointment to do a free consult, the phone number at the office is 518-465-7581. That's 518-465-7581. And Stacy is our scheduler, and she mm-hmm. can put time on any of the attorney calendars. And you could go to any of the three offices, either Albany or Saratoga or Kingston, and we could sit down with you and kind of look at your stuff. I've had actually, and this is a rarity,
mm-hmm.
I had two different couples that went to my seminar in Saratoga. They brought in their documents and everything was perfectly fine.
Yeah, that happens sometimes. Everything's fine or they didn't need to update anything. But you should check in and updating. your documents either, or not updating, I should say a review of your documents right. is important to do either every couple of years or when you have a major life event. So, you know, a child gets married, a child gets divorced, you know, you have grandchildren, someone named in your will dies. Those are the types of things where you should come in and we can review everything for you.
Or someone on your power of attorney or healthcare proxy passes away.
That's right.
You need to make sure that you have backups or they move away. So mm-hmm. the child that you had as your healthcare proxy was local and mm-hmm. now they don't live local anymore and you need somebody local. So
that's
you need
right.
somebody local to make your decisions. Then you might want to look at changing your documents. But it's something that we do. We look at your documents and tell you whether they're good, bad, or ugly, right?
That's right.
And lately, I mean, like I said, I had two. And I said to them, I'm like, this very rarely happens that I actually tell people everything's perfect and you don't need me.
Yeah, no, that's good. Right.
So good planning. So we're going to be coming up on the end of the show here in a couple minutes. So make sure you go out to the Kingston seminar this week and then look into the ones the week after next that are around the Albany-Saratoga area. And we have to go and examine the horses in the big race today.
And make our mint juleps.
Yeah. And make our mint. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's I forgot right. all about that. Imagine that.
How could you forget about mint juleps?
Exactly. Mint juleps and hats. We'll have to wear a hat.
That's right.
Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.